Freshly declassified documents by the White House Government Transparency Task Force detail the secret counterintelligence FBI operation known as Round River. Beginning around December 2019, analysts with the Foreign Influence Task Force on Russia pulled together earlier reports from confidential sources about the Biden family's links to Burisma, Hunter Biden, Mykola Zlochevsky, and the rest of the Ukraine situation. Then they stamped that material as Russian disinformation.
Well, what we definitely know is that Trump and Vladimir Putin actually have a few things in common when it comes to the media. Both of them happen to be propaganda machines. They spread misinformation, disinformation, and sow divisions in the United States. That's Russia's mission, we know, from the intelligence community. And Donald Trump has proven himself to be a tool, a Russian tool, for spreading that misinformation and disinformation.
Whether President Trump was secretly working on behalf of Russia.
Whether the president was secretly working with Russia against America.
Whether Trump was secretly working on behalf of the Russians.
Whether Trump was secretly working on behalf of Russia.
Whether President Trump was working on behalf of Russia.
Whether President Trump was working on Russia's behalf.
Whether the sitting president was secretly working for Russia.
Whether President Trump was working for Russia from the Oval Office.
A 2025 ODNI summary says the team did it without first checking whether any of those claims were even true. In some cases, they even went back and changed the source files to match the new label. The records show at least 14 confidential human sources gave the FBI derogatory information on Joe Biden. A spreadsheet from the intelligence files split people into two groups. Republicans like Bill Barr, Mike Pompeo, Chuck Grassley, Ron Johnson, Lindsey Graham, Devin Nunes, and Jim Jordan got listed as conduits of Russian disinformation. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Barack Obama, and George Soros got listed as targets, and the Foreign Influence Task Force signed off on those labels.
How many companies other than Burisma did the Obama-Biden State Department prepare you to give answers for? And if so, if there were others, which ones?
I just don't recall.
What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board.
Why was it that you found the allegations against Joe Biden related to his son or Burisma not to be believed?
Simply because I've known former Vice President Biden for a long time. I know how he respects his duties of higher office, and it's just not credible to me that a Vice President of the United States is going to do anything other than act as how he sees best for the national interest.
40 FBI informants have been feeding the Bureau exactly what Joe Biden, James Biden, and Hunter Biden have been doing all over the world. Primetime isn't sure the FBI had this many informants working on the Trump campaign. So, what does it mean that the FBI has had the Biden family wired? And what does it mean that the FBI hasn't done a thing? Well, it tells me that the FBI knows all of the president's dirty laundry and is blackmailing him. Because Senator Grassley also revealed that multiple FBI field offices tried to run this criminal information back to headquarters and were blocked at every corner.
FBI Director Kash Patel confirmed in a letter to the task force that he shut down the Foreign Influence Task Force after he took over. He said the Bureau is now investigating what the task force did, including whether it used the Round River work to zero in only on the Biden-related sources. Patel also noted that they found at least 53 relevant sources overall and are getting ready to release the reporting from all of them. An operation that adds more fuel to a raging fire, revealing outright illegitimate use of government power that shielded one side from scrutiny ahead of the debacle we now know as the 2020 election. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
All right, folks, find and share that video, as always, at alexjoneslive.com, the latest Bound report. Stay tuned, 90-second break, and we'll be back with the War Room. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of August, 2026. We got a big show for you today. Then after the show, I'm going to be doing a little debate about flock cameras and Palantir and Benjamin Netanyahu and the whole sordid business of the New World Order being built around us, the prison planet rapidly being put into place. So we're going to touch on that a little bit, but we have some major stories from today, just the top news. We can start with this. Trump says U.S. has control over Strait of Hormuz. Iranian military is decimated. The blockade is a wall of steel. The president has again claimed Iran has no navy or air force, a claim he's made numerous times previously. The U.S. has total control of the Strait of Hormuz. I think we'll keep it. Our naval blockade is being called by everyone a wall of steel, and there's nothing Iran can do about it. They have no navy, no air force. Their remaining soldiers are unpaid. The IRGC is decimated and fleeing, and their leadership is uncertain at best. They have no money. Their country is shot. All they have is fake news and 300% inflation. And getting worse, Iran is all talk and no action. The bully of the Middle East no longer. Praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. Okay. That's cool. So we won again. I would tack this up as another victory, okay? Nobody has won any war as many times as Donald Trump has won the Iran war. Strangely, he's still hiding in the catering cart out of fear of their assassins, but I guess that's a side issue. I guess that's something else that we are going to get into. Meanwhile, LA Lakers sold to Jared Kushner's brother Josh and Bob Iger for $12.5 billion, the most expensive sports team in history. And we've got some questions about this, perhaps, you know, Kushner's familial connections greased the skids, as it were, to allow this to take place. But, yeah, it's nice. It's nice for them. I'm happy for them. I'm glad to know that our princeling has added another trophy to his case. Congratulations. You know, the current aristocracy, they don't call themselves or act like aristocracy, but certainly it's time to understand that there is an aristocracy that rules the world. They just, you know, do it through corporations. Meanwhile, the U.S. military has lost roughly 25% of its Reaper drones as Iran war depletes arsenal. The U.S. military has lost at least 45 MQ-9 Reaper drones during the war with Iran, or roughly 25% of the entire fleet, according to three U.S. officials familiar with the matter. The Reaper is used to conduct surveillance and targeted strikes, and it can cost between $30 million and $50 million, depending on the type of sensors and weapons it carries. According to the Air Force, the potential taxpayer cost of recent losses is over $1.3 billion for that weapon system alone. The aircraft has seen heavy use around the Strait of Hormuz, the vital shipping route that has become a major flashpoint in the conflict and a key obstacle in negotiating a lasting peace deal. But the drones fly slowly and often at low altitudes, making them relatively easy targets for Iran's non-existent military and its regional proxies in Yemen and Iraq. Yeah, I'm kind of fine with that. I was just thinking about whether I even care about this. I'm not a big fan of Reaper drones. I say take them all out. Again, this is nice. You know, I would have liked to see the American government, the American military on their own volition and without sacrificing billions of dollars in equipment and dozens of American lives. I would have liked to see us leave the Middle East. If it needed to happen this way, I guess that's the price we have to pay. I guess if to get out of the Middle East and to stop spending all of our tax money patrolling these godforsaken desert fields with incredibly advanced Reaper drone technology, like, just blow them all up. Who cares? Good. I'm glad the Reapers are being destroyed, actually. They never did anything for me. No Reaper drone ever lowered my taxes. Israel deliberately starting wildfires in southern Lebanon, firefighters say. Emergency services, residents, and environmental groups say the military is dropping flares to destroy forests and crops. Firefighters and residents of South Lebanon have accused the Israeli military of lighting wildfires in the region as forested areas burn down in blazes sparked by Israeli bombing. Which obviously we know better. We know it's climate change. We know that every wildfire ever is because of the arcane and complicated pressure system of the atmosphere that's affected by the increase of carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide produced by machines and people by breathing as well as cows. We know that there's no simple solution to things like wildfires. You can't just arrest the people starting them and put them out. You have to actually create a very complicated tax credit system so that big corporations can offset the amount of carbon they're producing by giving money to NGOs who chop down trees. Okay? That's the solution to every wildfire, and anybody saying other is probably an Islamic terrorist. It's 2026, and this is your world. On Tuesday, the Israeli military dropped flares in a wooded area outside Qayyim in South Lebanon, sparking blazes. When firefighters attempted to extinguish the flames, a drone struck close by, forcing them to withdraw as the head of the civil defense in Nabatea region, a man named Hussein Farki. "Most of our missions are now related to fires," he said. "There are enormous areas of woodland that have burned. I don't have the exact figures, but the area close to the front line, around 30-40% of the land has been affected by fires." Now, listen, you may say that this is just another aspect of Israel's genocidal, anti-human madness, their drive, their particular insanity that causes them to have like a uncontrollable urge to burn everything around them, and that this is somehow strategically attributed to their, you know, military conquest in southern Lebanon. But hey, can't they just have a good time? You know, maybe it's just fun to burn forest. I mean, after all, they have for 2 years been forced to murder children in Palestine. That can deal some psychological damage. So if you want to let the Israelis have a little bit of fun every once in a while, I say, what's the big deal? So they're burning forests as a mode of, you know, ethnic cleansing. All right. It's like, what else are they supposed to do? They're trying to have fun. All right. They're trying to have a good time. In fact, I believe we have a video of a few of the Israeli jokesters, some of the pranksters in the IDF, using a full-on medieval trebuchet, clip number 10 here, to hurl fire into the wild areas of Lebanon for fun. Remember, this is for fun. Let's go to clip number 10 now. Hey. You can't say it's not fun. Now, I don't think these munitions have white phosphorus in them, but they have been dropping white phosphorus over the civilian areas of Lebanon as well. And do you remember, perhaps, dear viewers, like 10 years ago when I told you that everything is about Lebanon and that it's weird because it's hardly ever mentioned? Like prior to the last year or so, you hear a lot about Lebanon now because everything is sort of coalesced around it, but for like 10 years, it was weird because my co-host Moonbase Live, Lebanon John, he's from Lebanon. You always call in and give us sort of updates as to what was going on in the Middle East. I was always just thinking, it's like, all right, is it just the view of a Lebanese person? Everything is about Lebanon, because I can understand that. I can understand if you're seeing everything through the lens of Lebanon, you see everything as, you know, central to Lebanon. But then you actually look at it from a unbiased or objective place, and yeah, it's all about Lebanon. It's always been all about Lebanon. And again, we've been telling you this forever. Hezbollah is the most dangerous force on the planet to the New World Order because it's the blueprint. It's the paradigm of resistance that works. It's force. It's using force to defend your homeland outside of a governmental program. It's a militia. It's actually your classic American vision of a militia, private citizens arming themselves and defending their homeland. That's exactly what it is, the same way that the fact that Americans have a constitutionally explicit right to form militias, they really don't want you knowing that, just like they really don't want you knowing that everything in Gaza and everything in Iran and everything in Syria is really about trying to defeat a militia in Lebanon. But that really is what it's all about. And we have some confirmation of this here. Iran reportedly told Syria that invading Lebanon was a great way to lose its presidential palace. This is from Mario Nafal. Tehran basically warned Damascus that if Syrian troops crossed into Lebanon, Iran could light up multiple fronts across Syria and hit hundreds of targets, including the presidential palace. The alleged U.S.-backed plan was to send Syrian troops across the border and into eastern Lebanon, with forces pushing deeper into Bekaa Valley from multiple directions. Iraq and Qatar wanted nothing to do with it. The UAE was reportedly ready to bankroll the operation, while Saudi Arabia was open to anything that weakened Hezbollah without setting off a bigger war. Hezbollah, meanwhile, is apparently taking the whole thing pretty seriously. Perfect, just when everyone needed another war. Well, it's the same war. It's the same war. It's always been the same war. And I'm not just talking about this little incursion from Syria into Lebanon. I'm saying it's all the same. The Ukraine war, it's the same war. It's Ukraine, it's Iran, it's the Syrian civil war that raged for like 15 years. What do you think that was about? Why do you think that kicked off immediately after Israel's failed incursion into Lebanon in 2006? Because they determined that if they're going to take Lebanon, they need a force of Muslim extremists to attack them from the north while Israel attacks them from the south. So they invented ISIS and tried to oust Bashar al-Assad. Now that they have ousted Bashar al-Assad, Trump has openly said that they plan to use the Muslim hordes of the Islamic extremists they allowed to take over that formerly moderate country to swarm into Lebanon as a proxy force for Israel. Just like they're trying to get the Kurds to be their proxy force in Iran, or the Iraqi militias to be a proxy force against Iran. Trump has, and I will give him credit for this, resisted calls for boots on the ground of Americans. Instead, we are desperately trying to cobble together a force of some sort in the Middle East that can do Israel's bidding on our behalf. Sort of complicated stuff. Sort of we're hiring the killer, but we're the assassins hired by the actual money man. We're sort of trying to make it work, despite the fact that nobody actually is motivated to do this, except for the Israelis, who adamantly and steadfastly refuse to put their own people at risk for their own geopolitical gain. So here we are. So once again, I mean, I don't know. Somebody yesterday was saying, I too often point out that we were the first to report on things, or that we've been talking about this forever. But like, do you understand how frustrating it is? Do you get it? Do you understand? I try not to vent this frustration constantly, but it's a little bit frustrating. It's a little bit frustrating talking about the same thing for like literally 10 years. And it's still just as pertinent. And it's like, I wish you guys had listened to me. And also, because again, we're not actually just like responding to headlines constantly. I actually have a pretty comprehensive, like full-fledged view of what's happening in the Middle East, and everything that's developing is not necessarily a surprise, because if you knew the landscape and how it laid 3 years ago, it was pretty easy to determine where this was going, what the goals of Israel were, what problems they would run up against, the reality of the strength of Hezbollah and the ability to resist incursion from Israel, and how Israel is psychotic and can't let that happen and won't just admit that they can't do what they want to do. They cannot achieve their ambitions without getting a bunch of Americans killed. They just want to get a bunch of Americans killed. And they are. USS Abraham Lincoln to be replaced amid poor conditions for troops deployed to the Middle East. The swap of aircraft carriers in the region comes as U.S. military leaders worry about troop morale with no end in sight to the Iran war. The USS George Washington is set to replace the Lincoln, a U.S. official said. U.S. military leaders are privately raising concerns inside the Pentagon and the White House about low morale and widespread fatigue among American service workers who've been deployed for months to support the war with Iran, according to two U.S. officials. Amid the concerns, the Pentagon plans to replace one of two aircraft carriers deployed in the Middle East, the USS Abraham Lincoln, according to a third U.S. official. This is obviously the result of a number of, you know, threads that we've observed. We're going to go clip 25 here, one of which is the haste and sort of impatience with which we got into this war without actually determining how long it would be and what resources would be required to keep up the level of fighting that could very well be happening. That seems to be the main culprit in all of this, but also just the utter formlessness of it all, the lack of purposefulness. I mean, I'm sure the conditions on this aircraft carrier are not great. They're probably better than like a World War I foxhole, right? You're probably not getting trench foot. You're probably not having to sleep next to the rotting body of your best friend. Like, humans can endure the most brutal privations you can imagine if they have a reason, if they have a purpose to it, if they see their suffering as contributing to something eventually being built that is great and worth it, then people can put up with just about anything. If instead your suffering is at the behest of a bunch of ingrate Israelis who think they have a right to spend your life for their own immediate trivial territorial gains, then you're not going to be putting up with this crap. Why should you? And I would connect this to like even just the suffering of young people economically these days in America. It's the same type of thing. Now, young people, you know, they're called lazy because they don't want to work 9 hours a day for minimum wage, go back to a, you know, tiny little one room apartment. Conditions that previous generations would have put up with because they felt the momentum of America going in the right direction. That what they were doing was sacrificing their own comfort in order to build something great as part of a collective, knowing that everybody was in it together and that working hard would be rewarded by the system eventually. When you take that hope away from people, they aren't willing to put up with this crap. If you can actually establish a narrative in people's minds of what America is doing and have it resonate with those people and have it be something they believe in and want to contribute to, none of this really would be an issue. It's the fact that everybody knows that America is going off a cliff run by traitors and retards, and that all the suffering and sacrifice that they're asking you to make now won't be paid back with appreciation and, you know, reward for your suffering at the end of it. It'll be paid back with snide remarks, a demand for more, and basically insulting you if you dare to suggest, dare to even ask what it's all for. You're basically told it actually is a punishment. Actually, it's never going to get better, and that's the purpose, and your suffering is actually you deserve it because your ancestors taught Indians how to use a fork. So therefore, you have to suffer, and it will never get better. It'll only get worse, and you're supposed to thank them for it. Doesn't really work, all right? So at least six sailors have been reported to trying to jump overboard, which is not just a method of committing suicide. It's a method of committing suicide that is horrifying. You don't die from the fall. It's not high enough to kill you, I don't think. This isn't like jumping off a bridge where you hit the ground at 100 miles an hour. You might as well hit concrete. You die on impact. I'm pretty sure you survive jumping off a aircraft carrier, but then I think you are drowned or eaten by sharks. It's genuinely horrifying. And clip 25 here is a video from a U.S. submarine veteran who explains some of the privations and discomforts these people are experiencing on their deployment. Let's watch. Clip 25. Guys, hello. Is something happening?
March 11th, 2020. I'm a second class in the United States Navy leaving for deployment on the USS Greenville. We pulled out of Pearl Harbor 2 days before the lockdown started, with a 45-day food load, plans to stop in Guam or Japan to do a port call, take on a full food load, and go and get on mission doing super cool, super secret squirrel submarine stuff. The pandemic happens. We're no longer allowed to pull in. We get sent directly out on mission. We run out of food twice. It is a 90-something day banger from sunlight to sunlight. Okay, I lost something like 15 or 20 pounds over the course of that deployment. It was one of the hardest, most anxiety-inducing, mentally demanding periods of my entire 10-year Navy career. Okay, when I say I am deeply concerned for my shipmates aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln, I mean it. November 2025, the Lincoln leaves its home port of San Diego, California. December, they get their first port call in Guam. Then they get rerouted to the Middle East to support 5th Fleet while tensions escalate with Iran. February, the conflict starts, and finally in July, we get another port call. They went from December to July underway with a whole lot of combat operations mixed in there for flavor. We have seen, since this conflict started, the Lincoln run out of food, have food issues, and the administration and Hegseth love to come out and say, no, see, look, they've got plenty of fresh food. Here's the thing. A warship with 5,000 souls aboard goes through food really quick. Who do we think is in charge of keeping that ship resupplied? It's 5th Fleet. This is what the 5th Fleet headquarters looks like right now. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. So when sailors are sending pictures back to their families saying, this is what we're eating, we're not getting letters, we're not getting packages, because the logistics network that supports that ship and that strike group, or because Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth had no idea how to effectively plan this operation. Or was this administration firing all the Iranian counterterror operatives, or ignoring every warning from its own IC, or refusing to rope in any of our historic allies? It should be blindingly obvious at this point to anybody with any degree of ball knowledge, this administration ran headfirst into this conflict at the behest of Israel without doing the bare minimum of planning to make sure this operation was going to go our way. And now enlisted men, like the sailors on the Lincoln, are the ones going to be caught holding the bag for this administration's incompetence. It's disgusting.
Yeah, not great. Yeah, it's not looking great. And again, this has been going on for a while. I mean, it was a couple months ago that the, you know, photos of the lunch that was being served on the aircraft carrier was going viral because it looked not like food. It didn't look like food. It looked like gray matter, sludge, goy slop, you might say. They're being served goy slop on the goy transport vessel. It's just sort of emblematic, I think, of everything that this Iran war is. The lack of foresight into seeing this coming, the lack of concern for how it affects not just the average American person, but the Americans directly involved. The shortages, the hunger, the lack of nutritious food that could soon be reflected on all of our plates as the long predicted economic collapse will almost certainly lead to starvation down the line. So a little microcosm of the world under control of the powers that be. Not a lot of consideration for the people that they are literally expecting to spend their lives for their ends.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. A lot of news to get to today. I do want to tell you about an offer that we have at thealexjonesstore.com. As you may know, or may not know, and maybe it's good to remind people of this, people genuinely don't know, and it is the most beautiful thing about working at the Alex Jones Network. I get accused quite often online of being paid to post something or another, right? I was a Qatari agent for a while. Now I'm a Russian agent. It doesn't actually matter what I say. It's what the, you know, current lie is, to try to discredit people telling the truth. And I don't know how other people operate. I don't know if, as an independent creator, your ad revenue is enough to support your lifestyle. I don't know how it is for other people. It's very simple for me. I get paid the same amount of money no matter what I say. I get paid the same amount of money no matter how many views I get or how many callers call in. It doesn't matter. I get a salary. It's amazing. It's great. It's the best thing ever. For somebody that spent 10 years working project to project freelance, at times having to check my bank account before getting a Chick-fil-A kids meal for lunch, it's unbelievably amazing knowing that this is a actually functional company that actually operates like a normal company and just writes a check for the salary for all of the, you know, employees so they can support their families. Long story short, Alex Jones set up a system that we do not need to get money from anybody else. We don't need to. We don't want it. It makes us absolutely free, and it makes me absolutely free to say exactly what I believe and what I think our audience wants to hear. Now, I don't know what other people's setup is. I don't know where they're getting money or where they're taking sponsorship or how they figure out what's going to... I don't know. I'm not interested in finding out because this setup is ideal. It is absolutely perfect. It guarantees that even if you don't agree with us, you know that where we're coming from is unadulterated, is unaffected by any personal considerations for, you know, people who'd rather us say one thing or the other. Long story short, the deal is this. We try to deliver the news, try to explain the undercurrents informing the headlines. We try to elucidate the actual plans that are allow you to make sense of all of the seeming madness going on. And in exchange, we ask that you go get a fantastic product at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's it. And it's as simple as that. And if you like what we're doing and you like what we're saying and you want a fantastic product, then you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you buy the product, you get the great product, whether it's one of our supplements or hats or shirts or the concealed carry fanny pack, whatever it is, it's well worth the price, more than worth it in most cases, in all cases, I would say. But you support this outlet, the entire crew, all the writers, all the upkeep for the website and the streams and the satellite feeds and for Alex and myself. And that's it. That's the setup. That's how we get paid. It is frankly absurd to suggest that I would even be interested in taking money from some foreign state. Why would I? When I have the American people ready and willing to support our mission. Why would I ever have to go to any other foreign place or whatever? And again, I think, you know, if you think of myself and Alex and Rex and people at the Alex Jones Network, like other influencers, okay, I get it. You'd be suspicious of where they're getting their income. But for us, we're not like them. We have a very different setup, and it's a very pure, clean, unfalsifiable setup. And if we were doing anything untoward in that regard, if there was any secret money coming in, do you know that we went through a multi-year bankruptcy process where every single dollar of our income is controlled by the federal government for a little while, had to pass through them for approval? We are the most, like we have been kind of like how, you know, the Russiagate investigation into Trump sort of proved that he didn't have any Russian connections. Like, you could speculate about other people, but for him, they investigated. They tried to find it. Same with us. They tried to find, you know, mysterious income flows. They tried to find things that would influence us one way or another because of injections of cash here or there. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. I can't tell you how good that is for us. Like for me, I get to just genuinely say whatever I want and not have to worry about it as long as I fulfill my obligation, which I see as entertaining you, as, you know, fulfilling your desires. And as long as I do that, I hope you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you don't, we go away. It really is that simple. And thank God I don't have to worry about what Qatar thinks about my coverage, or Russia for that matter. Just one of those things where if you say something and some Russian person says something, it must be because you two are in cahoots and working secretly to overthrow America for the czar. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? Again, I get that speculation for other people. For us, couldn't be more clear where we get our money from. It's thealexjonesstore.com. It's amazing. Really, truly is. So, of course, Iran war, not going so well. We're pretending it's going very well. At the same time, Donald Trump is flying across the Atlantic Ocean on a military aircraft troop transport plane. Not type of thing I think he's exactly excited to do, but he was willing to do it and to endure the humiliation of being packed away like a chicken dinner into a catering box and secretly transported from one plane to the other. People have questions about whether this was even legit or whether there never was a threat, but it was all a play acting thing to see if it got leaked so they could determine where the leaks are coming from. I don't really know, but I do know that this has happened over and over again in Trump's presidency. And there's really only one of two options. Either there's something about Trump that he's gullible to certain people and certain lies, or he's in on it. Like, those are the only two options. Either, and you know, if you think about it, maybe gullible isn't even the right word. In other words, this threat that caused Trump to pretend to go on Air Force One, but in fact put himself in a catering box and have himself door-dashed over to the military transport plane. That was because of a threat of assassination, the intelligence of which came exclusively from Israel. Kind of like how the information about Iran that got us into the Iran war came exclusively from Israel. Kind of like how Trump himself has come out and said, you know, if I die, it's Iran and you nuke them because Israel told him so. So I think he just believes whatever Israel says. And we know this is the case because even his own ODNI, his own DNI, his own Director of National Intelligence, the central hub for all the intelligence networks in America, told him that Iran was not working on a nuke. Tulsi Gabbard came out and said that is faulty information. And Donald Trump said, well, I have different information. Okay, well, if it's not coming from the DNI, that means it's not coming from American intelligence, because that's the central hub that categorizes and gathers and then presents all American intelligence. So we have a situation where the American president is being lied to by Israel about threats. His own intelligence of America is saying, sir, that's not true, they're lying to you. And Donald Trump is quite openly saying, yeah, but I believe them more. Yeah, but I'm going to go with them and I'm going to trust them, the foreign state, over my own intelligence, who has America's priority in its interest. But here's the thing. When Israel tells you that Iran is threatening an assassination attempt, Israel is threatening an assassination attempt. Do you see what I mean? Like, take, for example, I don't know if the crew can find it. Search like Monica Lewinsky, Mossad, Pollard, right? Because there are official mainstream news articles about how Israel used tapes that they'd obtained of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky as blackmail to try to free Jonathan Pollard, Israeli spy who was in prison in America for espionage. So, yeah, Netanyahu said to have offered Lewinsky tapes for Pollard. This is from a book about the Clinton family. Now, how did they do that? Did they go to him and say, if you don't, then we will, right? If you don't do this, if you don't free Jonathan Pollard, then we will release these tapes. No. What they did was they let Clinton know that they did him a favor. They said, you know, we happen to get in our possession some tapes that could have been very bad for you, but we're looking out for you, so we destroyed them for you. So we just wanted to let you know, that the tapes have been destroyed. Don't worry about that. And that we did that for you because we care so much about you. And we, you know, it was a favor that we did for you. And we just wanted to let you know, so you're aware that these tapes, you know, maybe they exist somewhere else, but our copies, you know, that we have and obtained, we went ahead and did you a favor and destroyed them because they could have looked really bad for you. That's the way blackmail works. So for Bill Clinton, he understands exactly what the message is. This wasn't, oh, my good friends Israel let me know they did a favor for me for just because they like me and are great guys. No, they might have as well have been saying, we will release this information if you don't do what we want. That's what the message actually was. Do you understand? So when Israel says, hey, we think Iran is going to kill you, this is very good intelligence that Iran is going to, and we just wanted to let you know, we're just doing a favor for you. You know, we thought you'd do the same for us. So we thought we'd just let you know, we got this intelligence. We could have kept it to ourselves, but we're such good friends that we went ahead and let you know about this very dangerous threat that we've discovered. It's exactly like saying, you know, we've discovered this really dangerous threat about Monica Lewinsky and you on tape. So we took care of it for you. Don't worry about it. It's a threat. It's an actual threat. At least that's how I interpret it. And I wonder if that's also not how Trump interpreted it. Because you have to understand, for him, he might be sitting there thinking, this is probably BS. This is Israel trying to scare me. This is Israel trying to prevent, you know, us in Turkey from getting closer, because Trump was there to negotiate the transfer of F-35s to Israel's enemy, Turkey. And Israel obviously wants to keep Trump in a state of fear and uncertainty, acting like they're the heroes saving him from the threat that either doesn't exist or is coming from them. And I can see him going, look, I don't think there's a real Iran threat. I don't think there's a real Turkish threat. But they're obviously laying the groundwork, and they're saying, hey, we have this information, intelligence about a threat. And if the plane goes out of the sky, guess what they're going to be reporting? Guess what the media is going to be saying? That's the signal they're sending to Trump when they say this, when they inform him about the intelligence they've gathered. I think it's a threat. I think Trump even realizes that. Because the story is from theindependent.com. CIA had low confidence in Trump assassination threat that sparked secret Air Force One swap. Intelligence officials were skeptical about Israeli tip-off, but proceeded with elaborate deception operation to safeguard president out of abundance of caution, according to Washington Post report. The CIA had low confidence in Iran's threat. The WAPO reports that intelligence officials received the warning from Israel, but did not regard it as compelling, expressing their skepticism when they passed the information on to Trump and his officials when they were preparing for their departure from the NATO summit in Ankara. The president has flown to the alliance gathering in the retrofitted 747-8 jet that he was gifted by Qatar, but he returned home via a legacy Air Force One when concerns were raised about the new model lacking the necessary security features. However, it emerged this week that Trump had only joined the legacy plane when it stopped at RAF Mildenhall in eastern England for refueling, having secretly been conveyed on a third plane, an Air Force C-32A, inside a hydraulic catering truck, more commonly used for loading trays of in-flight meals on board. Again, I find this humiliating, personally. I think they were humiliating Donald Trump. The Secret Service has had three near misses with this president, so they're not taking any chances. They did what they had to do. This is the explanation from an unnamed official. The former official added that the warning received fit into a, quote, broader pattern of Israeli intelligence reporting that some officials see as designed as much to shape presidential decision making as it is to inform it. You love it. I mean, it's all this like double speak stuff. Yeah, Israel intelligence is lying to shape President Trump's decision making. That's one way of putting it. You know, it wasn't that I was lying because I wanted to get into your house to steal all your stuff, but I wanted to shape your decision making when it came to whether or not to let me in the house. So I dressed up like a city worker with an official looking, you know, order to go into your house. It wasn't that I was a big deception so that I could commit a crime against you. It wasn't that what I wanted to do, you would have stopped. So I had to trick you into thinking it was good for you to allow me to victimize you. It was just that I wanted to shape your decision making when it came down to that crucial, do I open the door or not policy. Double speak. It's all double speak. And of course, we have a lot more when it comes to Iran. And how's this for a bit of a coincidence, you might say? ISIS has intensified its Spanish language propaganda and issued new threats against Spain. What are the odds? I mean, is it even a question at this point? I mean, let's think about this, shall we? Israel tries to invade Lebanon in 2006. It fails. Okay, they're kicked out. All of the sudden, and that's in no small part because of the axis of resistance that runs from Lebanon through Syria, through Iraq, to Iran. Syria being a made mode and a state sponsor of the militias that protected Lebanon from the hostile invasion of the foreign state, Israel. And so they decided they needed to take out Syria. And if they wanted to take out Hezbollah in Lebanon, they needed a force of radical Muslims to do that for them. So they created ISIS. Or rather, the CIA funded rebel training camps that just so happened to disgorge ISIS fighters by the thousands. Whoops. Whoopsie daisies. So for like 10, 15 years, ISIS fighters who were almost entirely, Wahhabist, 13th century Saudi Arabian style Muslims, many of them from Europe, because while the Saudi Arabians and Arab leaders in the Middle East don't like allowing, you know, Muslim extremism to ferment in their mosques, they send those people to Europe, where Europe is incapable and neutered and can't actually prevent or doesn't want to prevent the radicalization in their mosque. So then they send them to die on the Middle Eastern battlefield for quote unquote ISIS. And this continues for a while with America serving as ISIS's air force. Basically, anywhere ISIS was about to attack, America or Israel would go in and bomb them to hell first to soften up the target. They use ISIS to try to overthrow Bashar al-Assad. He resists in no small part because of the assistance of the Hezbollah militia members helping them fight in Syria and around Lebanon. Finally, because of the Iran war, because of some very sophisticated technology operations similar to the Apollo Gold attack on Hezbollah, Mossad helped basically identify and get access to every cell phone carried by people in the Syrian army, which gave heads up and a insurmountable tactical advantage to the Muslim horde that came out of Western Syria to sweep through and take over the entire country in 2 weeks. The leader of that, al-Shara, being a former ISIS commander. So we invent ISIS to go after Syria. ISIS takes over Syria. All of a sudden, the literal head chopper ISIS commander is a well-respected Western-style dictator, which is ridiculous because Bashar al-Assad literally went to university in England and was like an eye doctor with a wife who dressed like she lived in Paris. Al-Shara won't even stand within 5 feet of his wife, who is covered in a trash bag all the time. So again, all of this is absurd. But ISIS, we more or less haven't heard about them in a little while. You know, you might think these radical Muslim extremists would perhaps participate in the violence against Israel after October 7th. When rockets were coming from Hezbollah and all this stuff. But they've never in their history actually attacked Israel. In fact, the only relationship between Israel and ISIS that's acknowledged in public is that Israel would send ambulances into war zones to pick up ISIS fighters, take them back to Israel to take care of them, heal them, and then send them back into the field. They actually serve like the Israel ran like field hospitals for ISIS fighters. That's acknowledged and well publicized. But they've never actually attacked Israel, except for one time they accidentally hit Israelis and they profusely apologized for it and explained that it was just an accident. And so now you've got Spain being antagonistic towards Israel, going along with the South African ICC charge, convicting them of human rights abuses and genocide. Israel says Spain will pay the price for this, that, you know, Netanyahu's son is telling Muslims, hey, you want to go reconquer Muslim land? How about you go take Al-Andalus? You have this Ceuta invasion with these forces out of Morocco, supported by and given cover by the United States and Israel through the Abraham Accords, which are giving benefits to Morocco and giving them diplomatic cover to invade Spain, trying to pressure Spain so that they can be forced to go along with and provide resources for the genocide in the Middle East so they can be removed as an antagonist on the ICC charge. And it just so happens that at the same time that the Israelis and their proxies and puppets in America are using Moroccan invaders to pressure slash destroy Spain because they won't go along with the genocide, all of the sudden ISIS starts producing Spanish language threat videos, intensifying their propaganda in Spain and threatening Spain. I mean, can we just call ISIS the Israeli proxy army now? Because that's what they are. It's what they've always been. And like, you really can't suggest otherwise with this new revelation. ISIS basically goes away. We haven't heard about it in years. certainly hasn't played a major factor in anything going on with Iran or with Syria recently or with Lebanon or anything like that. They're no longer a sizable threat in the Middle East. They're no longer a force that we're bombing on a regular basis. They've basically gone away. And the one time they crop up in years just so happens to be in Spain, threatening Spain at this time when Israel is literally using Islamic invaders from Morocco to try to pressure Spain. Again, not that complicated, folks. Not that difficult to comprehend. Not that sophisticated or nuanced. You just have to notice. You literally just have to think for yourself and just go, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. Why would ISIS all of a sudden crop up now in Spain of all places? I mean, you would think with everything going on in the Middle East, this would be ideal recruiting and action time in the Middle East. I mean, my God, you've got Israelis going mad. You've got Iranians going crazy. You've got, I mean, they're all killing each other over there. You would think this would be the perfect time for a splinter group of extremists to really make hay while the sun is shining. One would think that if you did see a legitimate resurgence of so-called ISIS, it might be as a consequence of and having to do with the chaos in the Middle East. But no, they just so happen to decide Spain is the target now. Spain just so happens to align perfectly with the desires of Israel as they use ISIS as their, at this point, just blatant proxy army. It would be funny if people didn't fall for it. It would be funny because it's so blatant and obvious and ridiculous that they get away with all this stuff. How long is clip number six? Do we have time to go to clip number six here? Not quite. We'll go to that in the first five because we have a U.S. Army officer disrupting a Senate hearing, saying, stop lying to the American people, stop the genocide in Gaza. We're also going to go to a video that's gone viral as of yesterday of this top rabbi with very close connections to Netanyahu, basically explaining that the intention is for Europe to be destroyed. And basically the point of Europe is to serve Israel, and they'll be around as long as they serve Israel. As soon as they stop serving Israel, they will be destroyed, which goes hand in hand with some other statements Netanyahu made over night in Hebrew language, on Hebrew language television, about how Britain is now an Islamic caliphate, essentially, and doesn't deserve respect as a Western Christian nation because they've been destroyed. Who are they destroyed by? We'll get to that, too. It'll be a fun next hour. Stay tuned. It's The War Room, AlexJonesLive.com.
New grape flavor, bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby! Yeah, these are the best! Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now! All-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh yeah, baby. The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. The Alex Jones Store.com.
Come on now, bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on!
We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and what a bandit run! Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.